Best show on WFMU, back again for another Tuesday night installment, taking you all the way from 8 p.m. until 11 p.m. This is 3 hours of mirth, music, and mayhem, brought to you by me. Tonight's host is Tom Sharpling. I will be here with you, holding it down until 11 o'clock when we turn it over to Bill, who will take you through to 2, who takes you all the way to 6 a.m. with Billy Jam, who takes you all the way to, to time to shut your radio off time. That's what I calls it. They put on the stream. I heard my buddy John Allen doing a hot show on the stream yesterday. Speaking of hot, we just heard something from a collection called Moss Rock and Roll 26 Rare 60s Teen Punk Artifacts on the Electro Harmonics label, which I believe is associated with the Munster label over in Spain. And we heard Los Sleepers with Zombie. Now, this word zombie is Z-O-M-B-I, which I am not sure what the translation, if you put that in American, I'm not sure what that translates to. Z-O-M-B-I, zombie. I don't know. Maybe it's some sort of dance. Or household cleaner in not America land, as I call the place where all of these things come from. Kelly Stoltz before that, his white hot new album on the Sub Pop label, Below the Branches. The one-man attack of Kelly Stoltz continues. Ever Thought of Coming Back, the name of that song. Nice CD package also. It's got a gatefold, and it's got a little LP dust sleeve in there. Nice stuff. Kelly Stoltz, it's top-notch when Kelly Stoltz does something. Top-notch. Think this guy's just going to phone it in? No. Think Kelly Stoltz is going to say, yeah, let's do that. Let's just put it in a digipack. Before that, Bell and Sebastian from their new album, The Life Pursuit. Sounding very, very, kind of glammy there. Kind of, very stompy. We heard White Collar Boy from their new album, on the Matador record label. Last week I was accused of being on the payroll for Matador, being somehow taking some sort of bribes. Not the case. If it's good, I plays it. That's the way I operate around here. Straight shooter. Straight shooter. Eagles of Death Metal, their new album's called Death by Sexy. And we just heard Cherry Cola and driving in, I had a nice diet the Pepsi with the like the black cherry and vanilla in it, and it was disgusting. It was like a suicide soda, you know, when you go to the fountain and you're like, Coke, Sierra Mist, Powerade, Diet Dr. Pepper, and tasted like one where you would make that and then you'd go, ugh, this one didn't turn out so good, and then you pour it down the drain and you hope the guy at the soda store doesn't see you. Oh, the guy at the soda store. When are you going to learn, soda man? We do what we want. We're the new generation. And starting us off, David Bowie from the album Aladdin. Oh, I just got that. Oh, we heard Panic in Detroit. And do we have a show planned for you tonight? Yes, tonight's show is going to be a good one. I played Panic in Detroit in honor of the Super Bowl, which took place in Detroit this past weekend. And we are going to have actually, this is kind of a coup. We are going to have somebody, a actual football player on the show later in the program, Troy Renfro, who's a defensive end on the Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers, is going to be on the show. So we look forward to that in about 45 minutes. Phone number 201-209-9368, 201-209-9368, or you go to friendsoftom.com to send us an email. Just click on Contact Tom. The email goes so fast right to me. I read it while we're here on the air. Also, the best show is podcasting. If you want more information on the podcast, just go over to friendsoftom.com. Also, click on podcast. There's a little thing mentioning the podcast. Click on that. 201-209-9368 is the number. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Oh, it's Spike. How did I know it was going to be you?
Oh, you're psychic.
What?
You're psychic.
I'm psychic. How's that phone working for you? Not good?
Oh, the phone's working perfectly.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
You know.
Or is that the phone that they let you use in some doctor's office? Who in the clinic?
What clinic?
The clinic you live in.
I don't live in a clinic.
Don't you live in a halfway house?
No.
You don't?
No, I live on my own.
Phone connection is really bad, Spike. Seriously, call back. And we anxiously await Spike calling back. What a low point. Not just in this show. not in my life. In all of our lives. To actually wait for Spike to call back so we can have a better connection.
Hello, Tom.
That voice that starts off the show. Ooh, boy.
Hello, Tom.
So knowing. So wise. So wise. Well, Spike probably got caught by an orderly. What are you doing in that office?
Nothing. I'm going, perhaps you want some discipline.
No, I want you to get back to your room. All of a sudden, it's weirdly quiet without Spike. Kind of sad. But we can move on, and we will move on, and I'm going to tell you right now that the best show on WFMU is under attack. That's right. We are under attack. There's a band called Poster Children. It's a band called Poster Children. Oh, is that Spike? No? Okay. I was ready to drop this thing in a second if it was Spike. Oh, it's him. Oh. It's Poster Children. Thing's on hold for a minute. Spike goes to the front of the line. Just like when he's getting his meds. FMU,
meds.
You're on the air.
Oh, I don't need my meds. I don't take meds. I don't do meds. I don't do drugs.
You don't do drugs?
No.
So you don't do the suburbs?
I don't do suburbs. I don't do drugs.
You don't do drugs. You had another thing. Oh, you don't do... I think you said you don't do clinics.
I don't do clinics. I don't do the suburbs. I don't do drugs. I do windows on occasion.
Boom.
You know, we lost two great Americans.
Who did we lose?
Coretta King.
Yes.
And Grandpa.
Grandpa? Grandpa Munster?
Yes.
Yes, he was a good guy.
You know,
I admired Al Lewis.
Of course. I listened to his show every Saturday when he was on. When he was on WBAI.
Did you used to call him?
Once in a blue moon.
How did those calls go when you'd get through? You're on the air. You're on with Grandpa.
Hello, Grandpa.
Grandpa spoke to me.
Where's Debbie?
I never cranked Grandpa.
Well, that's something. That's something that I'm just going to take that statement. I never cranked Grandpa.
No, I like Grandpa. I only crank people I don't like.
Like me.
Well,
where's Debbie?
What about all those times? You didn't like me? You didn't like me?
Well, I like you now. I've gotten to talk to you
all
the time. You know.
You've gotten to know me a little bit more.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting to know you, Spike, somebody sent me a piece of mail.
Oh, lovely.
And it goes further than that. It is about you.
Oh.
I'm going to read it.
I'm touched.
You ready for this?
I must be.
Brace yourself. You might want to sit down on that orange crate. Get ready. You might want to take a sip of hose water. Do you have an actual running water in your house, or is it just like a garden hose from the building next door?
No, it's actual water.
Okay, it's actually your water. It's not somebody else's water.
Right.
Okay, here we go. Tom. And this is on notebook paper, and it's written in longhand. Tom, don't give that short, fat, sad, sick Spike the satisfaction of calling him by his self-dubbed name of Spike. Because that would only feed him gratification and validation of which neither, I'm sure, you don't want to give him. I think there's like about nine. Who wrote this letter? Marky Ramone?
Neither. Marky Mark.
Probably Marky Mark. Because they would feed him gratification and validation, of which neither I'm sure you don't want to give him, okay? Instead, you should call him or it Droopy Zippermouth. Two names you have called him separately, but missed the obvious connection of putting them together. Always refer to Droopy Zippermouth as and only as Droopy Zippermouth whenever you are talking to or about him or whatever it is. What do you think of this letter so far?
I think the person who wrote it is extremely un-American.
Really?
They're not normal. They're not normal.
They're not. When Spike is telling you that you're not normal, then there really might be something. That's when it's time to look in the mirror and do some true... some true evaluation. Here we go. I'm going to keep going. And say it, the nickname they want me to call you, Droopy Zippermouth, as often as you can, just to rub it in. And two, just to rub it in is T-O-O. Just to rub it in. You just know that he probably gave himself the opposite dog name of Spike as opposed to Droopy Dog, because when he was growing up, Everyone everywhere called him Droopy Dog all his life, even right up to today. Do people call you Droopy Dog?
No, they don't.
With the exception of me. Do you think I got his number or what? Droopy Zippermouth said he works for the government. I'm thinking he's a postal worker and beating beating other sad messes like himself is how he goes postal. In conclusion, I would like to nominate Droopy Zippermouth for the Factory Rap Douche Week. For the Factory Rap Douche Award every week for the rest of the year. And Factory Rap Douche, you know, what letter does rapt start with, Spike?
Well, it depends on what kind of rap we're talking about.
Well, if something is rapt.
Oh, W-R-A-P.
Yes, this guy starts with an R, so.
Well, that proves my point.
And
it
this
proves
is
my point.
This is listeners. Are you eating?
No.
You have a lozenge in your mouth?
Yeah.
This is pro time, Spike. You wait with the lozenge.
I just swallowed it.
Well, thank you. Did you go on the air with a lozenge when you're talking to Grandpa? No.
No.
Of course not.
I was never rude to Grandpa.
But you were a little rude to me.
No. Not intentionally.
Not okay. I'll actually take that as an admission of guilt. So how's business going in your
in my world?
Yes.
Oh, just wickedly splendid.
How many customers does a Spike have?
Oh, well, it depends on the night. You know, on a weeknight, maybe four or five.
Uh-huh.
The weekends, picks up a little bit on the weekends because, you know, people are off from work and, you know. So it picks up a little bit on Fridays and Saturdays.
Uh-huh. It really. And where do people find your business?
Oh, in certain publications.
Like the Penny Saver?
No, I mean publications that people under 25 can't read.
Okay. Under 25?
That's right.
So they actually give that extra 4 years of grace there from being an adult.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah, well, yeah, if you're under 25, yeah, you're still a child.
What is the name of one of these public? Give me a name of a clean name of one. Not one of these filthy ones.
Okay, yeah. Well, how about
Clean.
Masters Magazine.
Masters Magazine. You're in Masters, so you run ads in Masters Magazine.
Yes, and Dominic Mystique.
Masters Magazine. Personal ads. Hello, I'd like to place a personal ad, please. This is Spike.
Is that how it goes? You call in? Okay, you got 25.
Not really. I don't call in. I do it online.
You got 25 words.
Okay.
What would your ad say?
Okay, well, Dominant Master in Queens seeks willing slaves. They give the phone number.
And then you give your phone number.
Right.
Good heavens. Oh, good heavens.
Not my phone, my home phone number, of course.
You have it's your business phone.
Right.
You have a business phone?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a business phone.
Oh, yes, I do.
Ugh. You know what I'm against? Business phones. All of a sudden, I don't like the idea of them anymore. I think the word business should be redefined. If you've got a business phone. That's what I think. Oh, Spike.
Oh, just welcome to my world.
Oh, no, don't say that. And don't ever call me that thing you called me last week.
What? Which was?
I can't even say it.
Well, I don't remember what it was.
Do you remember that, Mike? What he called me? I don't even want to... Ugh, I'm not even going to say it. I'm glad.
What, un-American because he support Bush?
No, you called. Well, Mike definitely supports Bush.
Oh.
Mike is actually a huge, he's actually a Republican delegate.
Wow.
Did you know that? He actually has a photo of him with President Bush.
Oh, I think that's sad.
I think it's cool. He actually talks to him. He actually went to his ranch in Crawford.
Oh, that's sad.
That's also sad. He actually hung out with him. Mike actually was on the short list of people to run FEMA. But then he went with Brownie at the last minute. Because Mike didn't have any equestrian experience. So that kind of knocked him out of contention.
Oh, I think that's so sad.
Do you work for the post office? Do you work for the post office?
No.
No? So refute what this guy says.
Right. I don't work. I never work for the post office.
But you work for the government.
I work for the government. I prefer not to say which agency, but yes, I do work for the government.
Is it covert? Are you a spy?
No.
Is it exciting at all? Is your job boring or exciting?
Not really.
Which
not really one? Boring.
It's not really boring?
No.
Is it exciting at all?
Well, I wouldn't say it's not boring and it's not really exciting. It's like in between.
A lot of gray area here. A lot of paper pushing. Is that what you do? A lot of pencils and paper?
Yeah.
Are you in a position of responsibility?
In a way, yes.
Oh. I feel terrified now.
Oh.
How many lives could you ruin if you made the wrong decision?
Well, if I pushed the wrong buttons on the computer.
Buttons?
Yes. See, I key stuff in.
You're not near the button, though, right? You don't have the code to launch missiles, do you?
No, God help me.
I'm going to launch the... I think Cuba needs some discipline.
No, I don't think Cuba needs discipline. Cuba's doing fine, just the way it is.
Yeah, that is. They are doing great over there. Driving cars that are 48 years old. That's going great for them over there.
Well, no thanks to your friend in the White House.
He's not my friend. I never met him. I only voted for him.
Why?
Why? Because he's our leader and we should respect him.
No. No, 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 no. He was never elected.
He was elected with the biggest mandate America has ever seen in an election in 2004.
Yeah, but those people were un-American. They don't know any better.
It was the biggest gap in any election in the last 200 years. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, it's true.
I think it's sad, I really think it's sad that the people in this country would vote for someone who doesn't even have a double-digit IQ.
Well, so he doesn't even have a 10-point IQ. He has his IQ at the best is 9 points.
Well, more like -9.
Oh. Uh-oh. Spike versus Bush.
That's right.
All right, Spike, young man. Why did I call you young man? Do you have a mustache?
Yeah, why?
I just had a feeling.
Uh-huh.
You have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Country was falling apart. Betsy Ross got it all sold up.
And then there's Maud.
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 And then there's Maud. That uncompromising, enterprising, anything but tranquilizing.
Right on, Spike. Oh, best show on WFMU back again. So anyway, I was saying the show has been under attack. We have been this band, the Poster Children, who were a band from the late 80s and then 90s, and I think they're still together now in some capacity. They have a radio program, but it's like a pod program. It's like a radio station in their house that they put on the web. And there's two people on the that host this show. It's Rick and Rose, the two the driving force between the poster children. And I was alerted to this sound clip of them attacking the best show on WFMU. And now we are going to play it to see if we what kind of let me analyze this clip of them discussing slash attacking the best show on WFMU.
You do, like, remember I talked about seeing some little girl wearing a CBGB's shirt on the bus, and like I actually said to her, you know, I played at CBGB's before it became a clothing store. And I didn't say that. I wish I had said that.
That reminds me of the Tom Sharpling, the best show on WFMU is now podcast. So that's nice. Finally, that's occurred.
What do you like about that show, Tom Sharpling?
I don't know. I keep trying to describe it to people, and they, you know, it's just, I think
he's
actually...
He's a really irritating guy, and you love that for some reason.
No, he's not irritating at all. I don't think he's irritating. I think some of his callers are irritating, but that's kind of funny.
Hey! First of all, okay. Stop the tape right there. Think I'm irritating. He's irritating. I'm not irritating! Am I irritating, Mike? No, see, Mike said I'm not irritating. He's irritating. And then he said my callers are irritating. What about my callers are irritating? I've got callers, guys. Don't you dare badmouth my callers. I'm like a Philadelphia sports fan. I can yell at my team. You don't yell at them. I yell at them. Let's continue.
I don't know. I'm realizing now that when I describe it to people, I'm actually doing more damage than helping. They should just, if they happen to find out about it, I mean, there are plenty of people who listen to that anyway. So
he was going on this crusade of to get Big Dipper to reunite to play a show, and that which made you like pull out the old Big Dipper records.
Yeah.
Are they even out on CD?
No, that's the whole thing.
Oh, they're not really.
Somebody needs to re-release them on CD. Yeah,
oh my God, 12-inch records could.
Yeah. No, I think they need someone a little more substantial.
It's called show preparation. You find out if those Big Dipper records are in print. It's Bush League. You don't just go in there not knowing if Big Dipper records are in print. It's amateur hour. I know what's in print. I know the records aren't in print. That's what separates me. That's what distances me from the pack. I know the current availability of the Big Dipper catalog. Shameful. Let's continue.
Potential than that.
Parasol?
I did tell
why
Parasol.
I don't understand why. Well, anyway, so you pulled those out and we imported them into, you know, whatever lame-ass software we have to put in. Or did you use something real?
Actually, I did directly to your iRiver.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, they still sound bad. But they sound good, but like, oh, man, those songs are so good. Like, Ron Klaus wrecked his house. And then, those just beautiful songs. Just beautiful.
But he also, he had a funny thing where he was talking about CBGB's once and describing it as a clothing store. It's a clothing store.
Oh, and then somebody called in, right, and said, no, it's not. It's where rock bands played. He said, no, it's not.
The thing he said is what you just said, and you heard it on the show. Jack and my stylie ripping me off. Oh, yeah, I heard him say, hey, guess what I said to a kid with a CBGB shirt? I said, that used to be a club. No, I didn't actually want to say it. I wanted to say it, but I didn't. And then, you're living through my memories. These are my memories. Don't steal them.
Yeah, what he's irritating.
That's the funniest joke in the show to me is when he gives out misinformation and people get upset.
Yeah, that's what I meant by irritating. Yeah,
but it's funny
like
if you know that he's lying all the time.
What? I don't lie. Misinformation? I defy anyone ever, to point out one sliver of misinformation that I have ever even accidentally given out. Find one thing that I've said where I've given out misinformation, I defy anyone to produce that. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. This is where we're playing the audio from this interview from the radio, from the pod radio show that the poster children do, where they were ripping into this show, and apparently you. They were ripping into you. You can't let them rip into you like that.
Yeah. You know, if you know that he can't be trusted, then it's funny.
There was that. We're okay.
It's only irritating for people who don't who are so gullible to believe everything they hear on the radio as the truth.
I got a popcorn needle stuck in my.
You hear that? Second rate broadcaster. Popcorn needle stuck in your mouth. I got stuff stuck. I got the thing stuck in my mouth. That's not what my show's about. Keep that stuff. That's personal. You leave that back in the house. Maybe you're doing your show in your kitchen. Maybe it is your house. I can't help that. Don't blame me. Don't make me, because you can't control your popcorn eating. You're going to get mad at me. Don't punish me because I'm listening, because you can't eat popcorn correctly. Don't get mad at me. I know how to eat popcorn.
People who are gullible enough to believe that everything is true that they hear, or anything they hear is true.
What, do you,
that truth
but
is
you
not
like,
relative.
But you like irritating people. Because do you remember that one time we played, I think it was like in Albany or something, we stayed at that guy named Rick's house, and he was just playing, we're like laying on the floor like trying.
Okay, and that does it for the clip. Poster children attacking me. It's war. First of all, they're saying, let's go through the points that they're saying. Saying I'm annoying. Saying I lie. They're saying you are gullible. They're saying you, the listener, is gullible. My audience isn't gullible. My audience is smart. So smart. Think of some of the people in my audience. Stevie Blue, for example. Spike. Garrett. All the people in my audience. Marky Ramone. Philly Boy Roy. MC Steinberg. Tomert. Are any of those people not smart? Are any of them not smart? I take offense to you, Rick and Rose, calling my listeners anything less than brilliant. For shame. I am prepared right now to declare war on the poster children and their radio program, their pod radio show. What is the address on their website? The phones are exploding with people outraged over this incident. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Rick in Albany.
Rick in Albany?
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, how are you? Did you just hear that interview?
Oh, I heard it all right. I lived it, too.
How did you live it?
I'm the guy that they're talking about. Whose house they stayed at.
Oh, at the end of the clip?
Yes.
Really?
I don't know how much they talked about
well,
it.
Well, let me actually play that last snippet.
Yeah, I'd love to hear the rest of this, how it plays out.
Okay, well, let's hear it just so people know what we are talking about here. Because that part got cut off. So let's bring that up. Hold on 1 second, just waiting for it to load.
You don't have it queued up?
Now I do.
You have it carded up? Okay. Let's
hear it.
Truth but is not like, relative.
But you like irritating people. Because you remember that one time we played, I think it was like in Albany or something, we stayed at that guy named Rick's house, and he was just playing, we're like laying on the floor like trying.
Yeah. Okay. Rick?
Yeah.
That is you? You are the Rick that they were talking about?
Yeah, that's right. What they didn't include in that little synopsis of the evening was, yeah, they were laying on the floor.
Uh-huh.
They were doing a little more than that.
Really?
The couple.
Oh, so it was like adult business?
Well, it got kind of romantic, you know, and it was right in my living room, and it was right in front of my granddad.
Oh, that's not cool.
It was really bad, because, I mean, he was just staying over with me while his house was getting flea-bombed.
Uh-huh.
So he stayed with me, and I went to the show at Bogey's, and bands playing, and I invited him over out of the goodness of my heart. You know, I've had a lot of bands stay over.
Uh-huh.
So, and, you know, the next thing I know, they're slamming me in Rockpool.
Really?
Yeah.
Just with that story.
Well, yeah. I didn't really appreciate their lovemaking session, you know.
Well, what, was that the extent of it?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why they were slamming me. And I don't know. It might have something to do with the fact that in the morning,
uh-huh,
you know, we got up and I was up before they were, and they're, you know, rubbing the sleep out of their eyes, and one by one they start looking for their bags.
Uh-huh. Like the whatever bags they brought with them.
Exactly. You know. So I say, oh, you know, I think I might have seen them in the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And then they're all confused, you know, like, well, what's going on, you know? So they go into the bathroom, and I'm right behind them, and the shower's running, and the girl says, we can't go in there. There's someone in the shower.
Uh-huh.
And I say, no, there's not. And everyone's real confused, and I open the shower curtain, and there are their bags sitting there in the bathtub with the shower running.
Wait, I'm not following this. So the shower curtain is going, like the shower's going.
Yeah.
But there was no one in the shower.
No.
Their bags were in it, though.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Well, yeah. Why, exactly? Thank you. Why were those bags, all their bags, in the shower?
Why wouldn't they be? You know, they were making the sweet stuff.
Uh-huh.
The night before, which I thought was extremely rude.
So this was like, who, you put them there? Hello?
Yeah.
You put their bags in there?
Well, I didn't know this was going to turn into an inquisition about Rick.
Well, no, it's not an inquisition of Rick. I'm trying to just get the story.
Well, that's sort of the story. I mean, what would you do if your dear granddad was staying at your place for the night because his house is getting flea-bombed, and you have this rock band over that you think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I didn't even think they were really cool. But and they have a lovemaking session in
uh-huh.
front of you and your granddad.
Well, I agree. That's not very cool, but it's also not cool.
I would think the next logical step would be putting their bags in the shower for 3 hours.
3 hours?
At least.
But I can't figure anything to be gained by that.
Well, truth be told, I did it to Helmet earlier that month, and they got mad too.
You put Helmet stuff in the shower also.
They didn't even leave me a T-shirt, the poster kids.
Uh-huh.
All did, though.
Who did?
All.
All? You had All stay at your place?
Several times, and each time I soaked their luggage.
But they still came back.
Oh, they loved it. I fixed waffles for them.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And the way people don't get mad when...
Some did. I'm trying to think who else got...
Well, hold on.
Who else liked it?
You think for 1 second. I just said, hey, Mike, you know the main phone line? Can you go over to the other console and pick up line 7? I think that might be somebody calling the wrong line. If you know what I'm talking about? Okay,
I'm going to attend to my granddad in a second. So.
Okay, no, I understand that. How was, so who, what bands can you think of?
Well, Seaweed, we're kind of into the luggage shower.
Uh-huh.
Unrest was definitely not. I'll let you guess this next one, whether they were into it or not. Yola Tango.
I'm going to say not into it.
Let's capitalize the R and the N in really not.
Okay. What happened with that? Did anything weird?
Oh, my God. The guy.
Ira? Went,
I think that's his name. He went AS on me.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I've heard that they're cool dudes and dudettes.
Uh-huh.
But you could have fooled me, man.
But how can anyone think that that is anything other than a horrible thing to do?
Well,
I mean, what? I still don't understand the logic of that.
Gigi Allen liked it.
It's probably the only time his clothes were ever washed.
That's a good one. I should write that down in my book.
You're writing a book?
Yeah.
Not about this stuff, though.
It's called The Soaker.
The Soaker. About you
kind of an indie rock memoir.
So you put everybody's stuff.
You like, name a band, I'll tell you if I've soaked their luggage.
You're kind of catching me off guard. King Snake Roost, yes. How about the Magnetic Fields?
Definitely.
Okay. Wow, you're kind of catching me off.
Earth.
You soaked Earth stuff?
Yep.
Who's the most famous person that stuff that you soaked?
Dave Grohl.
You didn't soak the rest of Nirvana's stuff, though?
No, it was a Scream tour.
When Scream played, you put
when
Scream...
When he got back with Scream after the Nirvana record took off,
uh-huh.
He was on tour with them, and he was sort of roadieing for them, and I soaked his stuff.
You put the... Oh. I just don't understand. So what do? You sneak in when they're asleep?
Mm-hmm.
And you
pick make it sound like it's devious.
Well, it is. You're grabbing everybody's bags.
You know who was the best soaking?
Who?
What's her name from Boss Hog?
Christina?
Christina.
Ugh.
Soaked it good.
All her clothes.
Yep. All her unmentionable.
Ugh. Yeah, well, you're really unsettling, and I'm sorry that that this happened. Hey, Mike, who is that on 7? That was not them, was it? Okay.
Wait, it was King Snake Roost calling?
No, King Snake Roost are not. Christina's not calling either.
Grohl?
It's not Grohl.
Okay, because I've been trying to get a hold of him.
Why is that?
I want to get a blurb for the jacket in my book.
For your book, The Soaker?
Yeah. Why? Can you hook me up? I know you're in the entertainment business.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Okay?
Like 170 words, something like that.
Well, I'll try. I'll see what I can put together for you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Good one. Oh, great. That was Rick, the guy that the poster children were actually talking about on that incident on their audio thing. You're listening to WFMU, East Orange, WXHG, Mount Hope, Worldwide, Worldwide Web, WFMU.org. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Who's this?
This is Tristan, but I also post as Tyrannosaurus Rox.
How are you doing, Tyrannosaurus Rox?
I'm doing all right. I haven't called for a while, but I thought I'd call in because you mentioned the poster child thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Are you mad about it? You mad?
I wasn't.
You are now, right?
Yes, I am.
You're
you know
furious
why?
Furious now. Why is that?
Well, you see, I heard that little snippet, and I posted what I thought would come off as a humorous joke.
Uh-huh.
I thought that no one would actually take something posted on the internet seriously.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Now, I even underlined this. By at the end of my post on your glorious message board.
Yes, and it is a glorious message board over at friendsoftom.com.
I added at the end of the post, you just got insulted on the internet. which I found kind of humorous because it's the internet, you know?
Yeah.
Things like that happen every day, and if you can't have a sense of humor on the internet, where else can you have one?
Yes.
Well, they took at least a minute and a half, maybe even three, to call me names on their radio show. They called me a little girl.
Really?
And yes. And then they went on to say that most of the listeners to this show are little girls as well.
Really?
Can you imagine that?
They said that most of the listeners to this show are little girls.
Yes. Little dumb girls.
Well, first of all, I find that offensive to little girls. Little girls, what did little girls do to hurt anybody?
You know, and that's also kind of sexist.
Yes, it is. It's kind of sexist. Thank you.
You know?
So are your feelings hurt?
No. You know what? I'm better than they are. My feelings aren't hurt, but I am saying this.
Now, is this a response right to them? Why don't you address it to them?
Okay, I will address it to them. No more jokes between us. You hear that? Next time you insult the show or the listeners, know that what I post online is the truth. I'm not, you know, beating around the bush next time.
Strong words from a guy whose name is Tyrannosaurus Rex.
I'll bite their heads off. I'm a dinosaur, you know, but that's internet, so.
You're an internet dinosaur. I like your laugh.
Thank you very much. And I'm not a little girl, just so you know.
It's clear that you're not. You're okay. A big boy.
I'm a very big boy.
How old are you, Tristan?
I'm 19, but people say that I am a very mature 19-year-old.
Uh-huh. What are you in school?
Yes, I am. I'm in college right now.
What school are you at?
I'm at Rhode Island School of Design. In fact, this weekend, me and Bobo Kick, who's also a big member of the FOT, got together. We hung out.
How was that?
That was really fun. I'm hoping to get together a real strong Rhode Island FOT chapter going.
I love it.
Hanging out and maybe even later on posting some images of our exploits.
I love it.
I'll talk to you later, Tom.
You keep it going, Tyrannosaurus Rex. Rocks.
See you later.
Bye. You hear that? You hear that, poster children? You tried to bring that young man down. But he's got backbone. He's strong. He's going to keep going. I would play the clip. The reason I can't play the clip of them talking about calling the listeners little girls, I can't play because they got the toilet mouths on that that pod radio thing. The toilet mouths. They'll say anything. Here, above board show. Grandpa, grandma, dad, mom, and the little Billy and little Janet can all listen to the show together. That show? That's blue. That's filth-minded. It's filth-minded. This is not filth here. What we do here is not filth. They can do whatever filthy filth they want to do. We don't do filth here. I guess you can check out their show. Let me find the link to their show. Let me see if I can find a link. It's probably filthtalk.com or something like that. The way their show goes, they probably advertise in that magazine Spike advertises in. was that, Master Magazine? Do you remember the name of that magazine, Mike? Master Magazine. Let's see what we can find here. The podcast. Where is it? Where's their address? You go check it out. It's over at, just search Radio Zero over at Google. You'll find it. And their podcast, that's Filth Talk on their podcast. Mine is family friendly. You want my podcast, you go over to friendsoftom.com, click on podcast. And to my webmaster, I request a big, fat, yellow button that just says podcast that you click on. Or it says, I want to podcast. And you just click on it, and then it takes you to the podcast. Can we do that, webmaster? Thank you, honey. So I'm thinking I will draft a letter that the poster children must read on their program. Apologizing, kind of like when one country writes a letter. What? Hey, who in the chat? Somebody in the chat. That's right, good guys win, T-Rox. Tyrannosaurus Rock says good guys win. Poster children, that's bad guys. Bad guys. Filth mouth. Who in the chat's got the offensive name? You see that, Mike? Get out of here with that kind of name. What is that? Stupidity, it's probably a poster children fan. Filth minded. Our audience is smart here. We read magazines. And good magazines. Good ones. Entertainment Weekly. We don't read Us. We read EW. Smart. Do the poster children have on their show? Are they going to have an actual Super Bowl champion? No, we are. We're going to have Troy Renfro from the Steelers in about 10 minutes. Checking in. Very exciting. We also will read from a article sent to me by a friend of the program, Ted Leo. Who I just read on an industry sheet, a tip sheet, that he has signed a new recording deal with the Touch and Go Corporation, which is fantastic for him. They are lucky to have him. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tom Sharpley.
Yes, it is.
Stevie Blue! Hi, buddy.
All right, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm sorry I didn't speak to you last week, but I've been a little busy with the... you know, the general day job stuff, you know.
That's real life. Real life entering the picture.
Yes. How are you doing? Good?
Doing very good. How's 2006 treating you so far?
Well, I'm starting a new band called The Laughing Dolphins.
The Laughing Dolphins.
Yeah, and we sound like the Stones. It's a big change for Stevie Blue. And it's an all-original, and we sound unbelievable. And my friend Michael, who you had met when we came on the show, you didn't know that he plays like Keith Richards. And at some point, it's possible, I would love to bring my story on the show. This is an amazing story. But I will tell you that we definitely have something cool, man. And what can I say? I've been pulling for you. I'm calling David Leroy's show every morning, and it's virtually impossible to get through. But when you get through... Of course, the guy that answers the phone, he's just nice enough. When you tell him anything, no thanks, man. He hangs up on you. But, again, I keep saying I think that you're the hottest show. I think David's a rock star, but I really feel And you're just a cooler guy, man.
Oh, well, thank you. That's nice of you to say, Stevie Blue.
As a talk show host or a radio DJ, you just, you know, your show is more interesting. He has no juice on his show.
That's right.
So, David, if you're out there, Tom Schwabbling is kicking your ears.
That's right. You hear that, David Lee Roth?
Not your derriere, but your ears.
That's right. You got it, buddy.
Got to keep it kosher. So, Tommy, maybe think about it a month away. I'd like to stop by with the Laughing Dolphins situation, which you may find really cool.
We will see. Let's see. I usually don't have people up here.
I know. You know what?
But we'll see.
It had me once, but now
we'll see.
It's the Laughing Dolphins. The songs are too old anyway.
They're ready. It's time for them to get out of the way for the Laughing Dolphins.
Laughing Dolphins is very cool. I have a logo, you know, with the big lips and teeth, big teeth, and dolphins shooting out of the mouth. That's my new, and, you know, it's Dolphins T-shirts, Stevie Blue, you know. It's all about rock and roll, so originality, we got it all, man. We got it all. It's rock star stuff. Anyway, I will keep trying David Lee Roth Show, and I will keep representing WFMU number one.
All right, buddy.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
I'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Stevie Blue checking in. He's going to kill me. I still say I die at Stevie Blue's hands. I still hold to my original prediction. I don't know when. The last thing I see will be Stevie Blue as I fade and shuffle this mortal coil. Had an exciting run-in with a listener of the program over the weekend. I was at a rock and roll show at the Delancey over in downtown New York City. A young man came up to me earlier. He was like, "Hey, I like the show." And he was very nice to me. And I was, "Oh, hey, thank you." And then later in the evening, he came up to me and he was really drunk, as he will admit, and jumped. He just ran at me and jumped into my arms, which were not held open to catch anyone. So I caught him, instantly felt it ping in my back, and then as he moved, full on elbow right in my jaw. Boom! It's like getting punched. Oh, nice. Hate to see what he does for things he doesn't like. "I like you so much. I'm going to make your jaw click for the rest of your life now. And help give you a nice little canyon in your gums now that you can feel with your tongue. Thank you. Thanks for listening." Why don't we hear a couple rock records, and I'm going to see if we can get Troy Renfro on. It's a pretty exciting interview we're going to have with an actual Super Bowl champion. So let's get a couple records going here, and then we will come back and hopefully have that interview lined up. What should we hear? I was having a conversation with God the other day. And G-O-D. I'm not afraid to put the O in there. Don't be scared of the letter O. It's a good letter. Don't be scared of it. And he was telling me that this record is one of the top 10 for the year. Let's see who it is. Mike's screening like a madman. Oh, they hung up. Oh, calling back. This record, top five of the year, it's Boris. Oh, yeah. We just heard the raining sound. From their album, Live at Ghana Records, 6/26/2005, we heard part of Two Thieves going into We Repel Each Other, available on the Ghana record label. Black Lips before that, from the album Let It Bloom, we heard Boomerang, I think. Yes, we heard Boomerang. It's all so good when it comes down to this Black Lips album. And starting us off, Boris, from the White Hot album. It's funny that the album's White Hot when it's called Pink. Ha 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 ha. And it's all written in Japanese, and I don't read Japanese anymore. I'm still boycotting Japan. I refuse to comprehend their written word. Until they correct the lyrics. From the song Scissor Man, from the XTC 12-inch they put out with the lyric sheet in 1982. You know what you have to do, Japan. Now it just comes down to, will you do it? Is Troy Renfro on hold, Mike? Line one, great. Who's on line two? Okay. It's very exciting. The Super Bowl was this past Sunday. Obviously, the Steelers came away with the victory. They are the Super Bowl champs. And we are very excited to have, just a couple days later, an actual Super Bowl champion on the program. We have on the line, he's the defensive end for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Troy Renfro. Are you there, Mr. Trent Renfro?
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for coming on the show.
It's good to be here. You know, obviously it's a very exciting week for our football club and all of its players and supporters.
Yes, and congratulations on the Super Bowl victory.
Thank you. It was, you know, it's been a long time coming for a lot of the players, and, you know, we just kind of, you know, we kind of all banded together and made it happen, and it's just been a whirlwind, you know.
Uh-huh. But you did it. It's a long year, and you actually got to the promised land.
Exactly. That's a great way of putting it. I know Bruce put it the same way. I guess I'm a big fan of rock and roll and Bruce Springsteen. So, but yeah, to be on a Super Bowl winning team is the dream of every young boy when he puts on those pads for the first time, and I feel blessed that I could be a part of this wonderful experience. It's just incredible.
Well,
you'll never know unless you're standing there. Words don't really suffice
for what it must feel like to actually know that you're in such a select group of player.
Exactly. You know, it's like it's something I personally have been striving for my whole life, I don't know if you know any of my backstory or not, but I grew up in a Northern California town called Chico.
Sure.
I played high school ball there and was fortunate enough to have the skills to get a scholarship to USC.
Uh-huh.
Play there before getting drafted by the good old SF49ers in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then you made your way over to the Steelers.
Exactly. That happened this past season in 05. And,
wow, that was perfect timing.
This ring, you know, is the culmination of many, many years of hard work and sacrifice for myself and many of my Steeler brethren, and you know, it just boggles the mind. I mean, I'm in seventh heaven right now.
Uh-huh. And I know you must have a lot of as excited as you guys are. You have a whole city that is equally as excited, if not more.
Oh my! Yeah, well, if not more is the key phrase there. Definitely, it's like, I mean, we're completely jazzed to be in this position, but the fans are just, this is what they live for, bar nothing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, these people, they're the ultimate football fans, and they live for it. They would do anything to see their Steelers bring that trophy back.
Uh-huh.
To Pittsburgh.
Is there something that kind of separates a Steelers fan from from an average football fan?
Well, you know, not to cut down any of the other fans from other cities, but you know, I mean, this is a tough place to live, and you know, it's cold. It's cold there, Pittsburgh, and
mm-hmm.
you know, oh my God! I mean, these people are like I said, they live for it. They're the greatest fans. We do all we can to show our appreciation to them. You know, we do all kinds of whatever meet and greets, charity functions. You know, you do what you can to reciprocate their love and loyalty to you and to your teammates. You know,
mm-hmm.
because you know it's just a great thing. Because you know, quite honestly, our fans, you know, they don't have the easiest lives. You know,
uh-huh.
You know, and watching us play on Sunday is something that they. Basically, they live for, you know, and it's the high point of their week. And, you know, Pittsburgh is a real blue-collar town, as I'm sure you and your listeners know. And, you know, a lot of the fans, they work in the mills and the factories to support their families. You know, the things they provide, the things that you and your family, you know, need to get by, you know.
Uh-huh.
Metals, woods, et cetera. And, you know, it all basically, a lot of it comes from Pittsburgh.
So it's a hard working town. We are excited to have on with us from the Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers. We have defensive end Troy Renfro on with us.
Great to be here.
Well, thanks again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it is. It's a hard working town, and I guess that, you know, you guys reflect that in your style.
You definitely feel like you owe the fans 180%, as much as you could possibly squeeze out of yourself, you know. I mean, a lot of these people, a lot of these guys, they didn't have the same opportunities that I had, you know, growing up in Northern California. Most of these guys in Pittsburgh didn't even, you know, truth be told, didn't even graduate high school, judging by a lot of the fan mail that we get at the clubhouse.
What do you mean?
Well,
like a lot of the...
Well, we get a lot of, you know, kind of supportive mail saying, you know, really, you know, you guys get out there and do it, you know, this coming Sunday. Like, you know, I mean, you'd think a third grader wrote these letters. You know, go out there on Sunday and kick Cincinnati's asses. Sign the boys at, I don't know, Hoffman's Muffler Shop. Cincinnati spelled with two S's and ending with a Y.
Uh-huh. So that's kind of the...
It's kind of sad, you know, sad stuff there. You know, I actually have a bunch of those letters up on the wall, what I call the dope board in the clubhouse.
The what board?
The dope board.
Dope?
Yeah, I kind of, you know, we get a kick out of them sometimes.
And what is it? It's just fan mail?
It's like a lot of the fan mail that we get by the guys that, you know, like I said, the guys that didn't really excel in, you know, in school, you know, so...
Uh-huh.
It's kind of fun. I mean, obviously, it doesn't translate to me just telling it right now, but it's sort of funny when you see it up on the dope board.
Just kind of like you see the all the people who maybe didn't have the, you know, educational opportunities that you've had,
or didn't have the guts or the brains to kind of stick it out. You know, I mean, a lot of people do make it through the Pittsburgh high school system, but
uh-huh.
I really haven't met many of them. That movie, like All the Right Moves.
It's a Tom Cruise
flick.
Yeah, a football movie.
He basically, I don't know if your listeners know the film. It's kind of a classic football film. You see it on ESPN every now and then.
Sure.
You know, Tom Cruise is a high school football player, and he's up for the scholarship, and he comes from the total blue collar family. Ends up screwing up his chances for the scholarship. But anyway, Pittsburgh, as far as my experience is, it's pretty much like that movie.
How so?
Well, a lot of these guys that I meet, they end up knocking up their girlfriends in high school, you know, and they basically tie down for life with the family, the kids, the wife, end up becoming huge booze hounds.
Uh-huh.
You know, they come to these bars, you know, like I'm out at a bar drinking or whatever, and guys come up and they want to let you know that, hey, I played football in high school, you know, I could have gone to the pros, but I got a family to support, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like you just want to grab him by the down jacket and just say, dude, you know, you could have used a rubber. You know, it's not a big deal. I mean, I'm totally religious, but it's like, you know, that's one thing in the Bible that, you know, I didn't really, you know, I kind of skip over, you know.
Is protection.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally Catholic.
Uh-huh. Except for using protection.
All that, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a personal choice. I'm not going to...
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, you know, my life has been a lot better, you know, as a result of using that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. But, so, well, that's
a whole other issue.
Whole other thing. But I am a little taken aback, I have to say, Mr. Renfro. And I should say we are joined by Troy Renfro, who is as of 2 days ago, a Super Bowl champion.
Right.
He's a defensive end for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, but I mean, you're talking about the people of Pittsburgh, like that. I would say those are kind of blanket statements. I mean, you're saying you're meeting people and they're not very smart. I mean,
some of them are smart. You know, a lot of them are, but you know what the weird thing is?
What's that?
Most of these guys, they have these newspaper clippings that they carry in their wallets from their high school glory days.
Uh-huh.
In their wallets, like actual press clippings. It's unreal.
Of past achievements?
Of like articles that were written about them in whatever their high school paper was, or the local Allegheny Free Times or whatever, you know, and they spread them out in the bar in front of you. They want you to read them. It's like, dude, there's no way the wiry, muscly guy in that picture is you.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like you're my age, but you look like George Wendt.
Wow. That's part of real life for a lot of people. That's how kind of working in a town like that can go, I guess.
You know what the worst part is?
What's that?
You don't show them the proper respect.
Uh-huh.
They want to challenge you to a blocking contest.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, dude, I'm not going to risk hurting you and you suing me,
mm-hmm.
or B, hurting myself just so you can brag to your hard-hat buddies that you scrimmaged against a real Steeler at O'Banion's last night, you know? Like,
well,
get a grip, dude.
I gotta say, your attitude about the people in the town that you were just saying that these people are awesome and that you love representing them on the field and all that stuff, that you... You kind of have a very dim view of them.
Well, you know, all I can say, I speak from experience. You know, it's like these are the people that I've met. I mean, they're great, though. For the these are wonderful people.
Well, it doesn't sound like you think.
Love them.
It sounds like you're saying that with
love them.
You're saying that through gritted teeth.
Oh no, I'm not at all. Oh, here's a great story.
Uh huh.
You ready?
Sure.
And I was going to save this for my book, but I'm in a good mood. I've been I don't want Coach to find out, but I've been drinking a little vino tonight. So feeling a little good. You know what, man?
Uh-huh.
I almost didn't make it to the game on Sunday.
To the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, Saturday night, I went out to Shelter.
Okay.
It's this goth club under St. Andrew's Hall in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
So I end up meeting these three goth chicks, and I end up going home with them, which is okay because I'm separating from Desiree in about a month.
Uh-huh.
So, oh, my God, we partied. It was great.
Okay, so.
These chicks were straight out of a Specimen video.
Specimen? You're into Specimen?
I know about it. I mean, I know about all kinds of music. I had a show on my college station back at USC.
Uh-huh.
Played all kinds of stuff, everything from Beatles to Three Doors Down to Neubauten.
Really?
Yeah.
You had a
Derp Scratch as my co-host for a little bit.
Who?
Derp Scratch.
Who's that?
He was in Fear.
Oh, wow. You actually had a guy from Fear in your...
Yeah.
So...
He was kind of my Andy Richter for a little bit.
Okay. So anyway, so to you...
Keith Morris would stop by, too.
And you end up having a little fling before the game.
Oh, fling is the understatement of the century. So I wake up at 2 p.m. on Sunday. I have no idea where I am.
Uh-huh.
And I end up having to hotwire one of the cars of one of the chicks in order to drive from Ann Arbor to Detroit to make the game. Which was fair because they rolled me.
The girls rolled you?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
All my dough.
They took all your money?
All my credit cards.
Wow. So you kind of paid a price there.
Oh, definitely. So all the while I'm thinking, oh, my God, I hope Coach Coward doesn't try to get a hold of me before the game.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then I realized that he's probably not going to try to get a hold of me because he hasn't spoken to me all season, basically.
How is it that he could not have spoken to you all season? I mean, you're on the team.
Well, Coach Coward doesn't really, you know, chat that much with the second, third stringers or the fourth stringers, you know.
So you don't get a whole lot of... I mean, I have to admit I am not the world's biggest... football fan.
Right.
So you're not a full-time on-the-field guy?
Well, I've been what's put on what they refer to as permanent injury reserved list for the whole season.
Permanent injury list?
Yeah.
And why would you be on that list?
Well, I'll tell you the real story because, truth be told, I'm probably going to get traded this spring. Hopefully somewhere nice. But God, I wish the Bahamas had a football team. How cool would that be?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Playing games on a field made of white sand, sipping Coronas on the sidelines.
You might not want to be in full pads, though.
Oh, no. I mean, if you played for the Bahama team, you'd probably wear, like, a bikini brief or something. Which I look very good in.
Ugh.
Not that I was included in the Steelers calendar this year.
Uh-huh. Why was that?
A bone of contention. Because I didn't suit up after September 1st. So.
Okay, well...
Anyway, I'll tell you the story because, like I said, I'm probably going to get traded.
Okay.
Okay. Our second preseason game back in August. It's against the Dolphins. In Pittsburgh...
Mm-hmm.
What a bummer that was. Let's see, would I rather be playing in Steel Town, playing for Claude and Maud Punch Clock, or in Miami for a bunch of hot models who only came to the game so they can meet the players and party with them afterwards at Skybar? What do you think?
I'm probably going to say you would go with the Miami.
DS.
What?
Damn straight.
Oh, DS. Okay, that's pretty...
I schooled you just then.
Not cool, but yeah, you schooled.
Say
you took me to school. Yeah, I got schooled.
What's your name?
What's my name?
Yeah.
You've been on the show for 20 minutes. It's
What's
Tom.
Your name?
Tom.
What's your whole name?
Tom Sharpling.
Say, I, Tom Sharpling, got schooled.
I, Tom Sharpling, got schooled.
By T.R.
By T.R.
That's okay.
Is that
I'm just busting your hump there.
I know you. All right, well, thank you.
So, basically, here's what happens. I actually got to play a good portion of the third quarter of this game against the Dolphins back in August, which we won 17-3, I might add.
Uh-huh.
I was doing pretty well, you know.
Yeah.
Made a couple of stellar tackles, didn't get faked out of my jock one bit. There's one play where their running back, Willie Parker,
yeah,
comes driving around my end. I tackle him, and there was this massive pile-on. I'm down at the very bottom of this pile-on with Willie.
Uh-huh.
And the way we're positioned,
mm-hmm,
I was kind of like, you know, seated on his head.
Uh-huh.
And at this point, I'm pretty puffed up. You know, I made this incredible tackle.
Sure.
And as a joke, I passed gas in his face.
Oh.
And, oh, old Willie, he got as mad as a rattlesnake at a Thai wedding, and he grabs my foot and he twists it. Totally screws up my ankle.
Uh-huh. He got as mad as what?
A rattlesnake at a Thai wedding. Have you ever heard that?
A rattlesnake? I don't even know what that means.
I'm not really sure what it means either, but it sounds pretty, like, he'd be kind of mad, don't you think?
Yeah, sure. I guess so.
So, anyway, my ankle, oh my God, howling pain.
Is that Thai as in Thai food, or Thai as in I'm wearing a tie?
No, as in Thai food, you know, Oriental fare.
Okay.
What the Orientals eat.
The Orient, you mean the Asian people?
Same diff.
No, it's not the same.
It is the same diff. Oh, geez. Oh, I didn't know I was going to get all PC'd on this.
Yeah, well, it's not. Okay. It's not the same diff. I'll let you.
Okay.
I'll let, you know, okay, but you, well, okay, go ahead. So you get your ankle twisted.
Yeah, so, you know, I can't even walk at this point, you know. What can I do? I had to suck it up, right? You know,
yeah.
Like, I sure as hell can't come clean and tell the story of how I let one fly in this guy's face, right?
Yeah, no.
And that's the reason that he maims me, basically.
So that's why you've been out all year.
Well, it's the kind of thing that follows you, you know, your whole career. It's like, I'm not going to be known as Troy Fartman, the flatulent footballer, you know.
Uh-huh, so sure.
I pretended I twisted my ankle during the play, and
uh-huh,
it actually worked out great.
Okay, well.
Because the fans were even nicer to me after that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, in the past, I'd go to a restaurant in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, you get your apps or your dessert comped.
Uh-huh.
After the injury.
Yeah.
It's like my money wasn't good in Pittsburgh anywhere.
Well, wow. So what's that going to be like now, I guess, if you're in, you know, around town? Is that going to be even, that must be, being a Super Bowl champ, it's going to have to be that times, you know, whatever, you know.
Oh, it's got to be, you know. I mean, it's going to be, I imagine I'll get everything for free, you know, like I have in the past, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, once my record hits, it's going to be even bigger, you know.
What record?
My single.
You mean like a music record?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You have a music record.
Do I have a music record? What are you, like, on the Brady Bunch, a record album or something? Like Cindy would say, oh, my God, I love this record album.
Yeah, oh, no, I understand that. I'm taking it back when a football player starts talking about having a record. Because, I mean, I guess usually the average...
A lot of jocks have made records,
uh-huh.
Jack.
A lot of jocks have records, too,
jocks,
you know what I mean?
Well,
like criminal.
I do, and I do, too.
You do?
Oh, of course I do.
Like, what would be on your criminal record?
Nothing you need to know about.
Oh, just give me one thing.
Well, it involves nudity.
Oh, you know what? I could kind of assume
and
that.
And gunplay.
And golf. Well, I kind of didn't assume that.
Well.
So, okay, let's talk about your record.
Well, you can check out my stuff, and all your listeners can check out my stuff.
Uh-huh.
I have a website, of course.
Uh-huh.
And it's www.houseofrenfro.com.
Okay, and is that the official website of Troy Renfro?
Yeah, you can check out my stuff. You know, you can download my new single, Honeybone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I'd love to, over the phone, if you don't mind, I got my ghetto blaster here. I could cue it up for you. Just,
sure.
Give you a blast of it.
Okay, let's hear
it. It's called Honeybone, and uh-huh, I recorded the stuff with my bro, Scott Humphrey, who, of course, did Methods of Mayhem for Tommy Lee, and little work from Metallica crew, Fleetwood with Mac, The Cult, Rob Zombie.
Uh-huh. So this like is pretty legit.
Oh, it's totally... Shut up. It's totally legit.
So this is under the name Troy Renfro?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's hear. What's it called again?
It's called Honeybone.
Okay. Let's hear some.
Here we go.
Whoa, I can't. Oh, you can't play that on the radio. Hello, are you there?
What'd you do? Did you cut it off?
Yeah, I definitely cut it off.
Why?
Because it was filthy.
No, it wasn't.
You can't. That was like
what
eight.
Was filthy
it was like
that.
Eight curses.
Oh, come on.
Come no, it's on the radio.
2006.
Yeah, and it's 2006 on the radio.
Well, I was told this is a high school station.
What?
Right?
No, this is not a high school station.
Well, you sound like you are. You sound like you're about 98 pounds.
Well, you're wrong on that. And I just, you know, what would on earth, when have you ever heard that kind of language on the radio?
I don't listen to the radio that much anymore.
Yeah, okay, when have you, I'm saying ever, when have you ever heard it in your life?
I feel like I heard it, like, when I was listening to, like, I don't, truth be told, I never have, I guess. I don't know, I guess I thought because I'm a stealer I could get away with it.
Yeah,
like,
well,
get
you,
away with everything.
You can't. That was terrible. It was so...
Terribly musically?
Well, first of all...
terrible in terms of the...
Musically, it sounds a little, I mean... Do you really want to know what I think of the music?
Oh, I'm all ears.
I mean, that sounded a little, I'd say a little out of date.
What do you mean?
Just in terms of having that kind of old-fashioned, like, new metal sound.
It's totally Bizgittian.
Yeah, is that something to strive for?
I thought it was.
I would think not.
Well, I guess I called the wrong guy then. But anyway, to your listeners who might be into it, you know, you're welcome to download it. It goes up for download next week.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
So people can finally get on board the bandwagon for Troy Renfro.
That's right. MC Troy Roy.
Is that what you call yourself?
I'm going to now, yeah.
So
it just came to me.
So MC Troy Roy.
Yeah.
Is that what this record's going to be under? What was it again?
MC Troy Roy.
No, what's the name of the record?
Honeybone. That's the first single.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. So I guess if people, the little taste they got there, I guess if they decide they want to spend their 99 cents on Honeybone by MC Troy Roy.
Wait, 99
I guess they
cents?
Can go over and check it out.
99 cents. It's actually $9.99.
For what?
What do you mean for what?
The album?
No, for the single. I guess the album, once that's done, will probably be like $79.99.
70?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. $9.99 for what? For that one song?
Yeah.
Really?
Great. It's a good song. It's a total jam. It's not your D in the D.
How can you sell a song for $9.99, a single
it's
song?
Quality, it's that good. Come on, I could really use the dough now.
You understand how the marketplace works in terms of the song sell for 99 cents.
Well, I also understand that I'm a Super Bowl champion.
Uh huh.
And that should knock the price up at least $9.
Well, you're not selling football stuff.
Will be, though.
What's that?
I will be soon.
You'll be selling football.
I'll probably be selling my game uniform.
A game you didn't play in?
Not that I wore a uniform that day.
You didn't even wear a uniform?
Technically, no.
Well, why?
I wore a Steelers baseball cap.
Why weren't you even suited up?
Because they lent my uniform to someone else.
They actually...
I haven't played all season.
You don't even have a uniform?
Technically, no. I don't really have a number right now. You promised to keep this on the QT?
On the what?
On the QT.
Yeah, sure.
I lost a bunch of money on the game.
You lost a lot of money on the game?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they covered the spread, though.
Well, I know you're not supposed to do this, but I bet on the game.
On what game? The Super
Bowl. Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, that's... But how did you lose money, then?
Guess. I bet on the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's... I was hoping that wasn't what you were going to say.
No. Well...
You actually bet against your own team.
Well, I know it's wrong, but it's not that big a deal because since I wasn't actually in the game or suited up, I didn't influence the outcome at all.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So it wasn't that wrong.
Yeah, well, jeepers, thanks. I'm glad to hear that you didn't actually throw the game.
I'm going to lose my house.
How much did you bet?
My Hummer. And about $120,000 in cash.
How much did you bet?
My house, my Hummer, and about $120,000 in cash.
So you actually just bet everything you own?
In a nutshell, yes.
And now the only thing you must own is pretty much Honeybone, your song Honeybone.
Honeybone and something else.
What's the something else?
You be up for buying a ring?
What the ring?
Yeah.
Your Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
You're going to sell your Super Bowl ring. Really? You're going to sell your Super Bowl ring?
How much would you give me for it?
I'd give you nothing for it because I could care less.
You're as bad as Hines Ward.
Why is that? That's another player on your team.
Yeah. Dude gets the MVP. And he gets a trip to Disney World as a perk.
Mm-hmm.
He announces he's taking Bettis.
Uh huh.
As his guest.
Okay.
That hurts. You know, I mean, I thought Hines and I were brohams.
That he would take you.
Yeah.
Who didn't play in the game and doesn't do anything.
So, like I said, we used to be brohams.
And a guy who bet against the team.
He doesn't know. Well, he probably knows it now.
Well, you're saying it on the radio, so.
No. He said I had no vibe happening.
No vibe.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, those are damning words.
Yeah.
Did he say that at the parade today?
Where?
At the parade, the Super Bowl parade. In Pittsburgh.
Oh, geez, that was today, wasn't it? Yeah, I did. I'm in L.A. right now. I guess I spaced on the parade. I went straight to Law from Detroit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, geez. That's not going to get me in too good with the coach, I guess.
Yeah, maybe you should have been at the parade for your Super Bowl victory.
Well, I had a very important commitment that I had to honor.
What was that?
Well... You are talking to one of the five judges of this year's Miss Hustler pageant.
Wow.
It's one of the biggest honors out there.
I guess it is a huge honor. I mean, I would put that right up there with the honor of, I don't know, winning a Super Bowl.
Well, wait till you hear who the other judges are.
Who?
Dennis Rodman.
Wow, there's a shocker. He won't do anything for money.
He hate me.
He hate, okay, yeah. The guy from the XFL.
That's right. Jeremy Piven.
another shocker, the actor who's on Entourage, who seemingly will show up at any premiere he's invited to.
And this one guy who I'm totally hitting it off with.
I didn't know
anything about before.
Who's that?
Marky Ramone.
Marky Ramone?
Yeah.
Really?
He's this guy, I mean, he's incredible. He's got this new book out that's like the talk of the erotic fiction world.
Yeah, he talked
about this.
He talked about it last week.
Great.
Wow, you are in proud company. 2 days ago, you were a Super Bowl champion. Now you're ready to sell your ring, and you're bragging about you're bragging about being, what is the name of the pageant?
The Miss Hustler pageant.
The Miss Hustler pageant.
Yeah. You should see these chicks.
Oh,
actually, chicks is sort of too much of a compliment. They're broads.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Wow, proud moments. Yeah. Well, I guess you'll get out of this financial hole you're in, having bet against your own team, when people start buying your one song for $10.
Well, there's that, and you also planted a seed just now.
What's that?
I could become like a really kick-ass pimp.
A pimp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start pimping.
Oh, that's something.
I could totally make my dough back.
That's something to be proud of.
Thank you for kickstarting that notion.
I had nothing to do.
I'm not
going to
split the proceeds with you, though.
I don't want any money generated from pimping.
Do you want to buy this ring, though?
No.
Come on. I'll have it inscribed to you.
You're going to have...
To Timmy from Troy.
You're going to have your Super Bowl ring transcribed to me.
Timmy from Troy.
I heard, you know, I'm trying to gloss over the fact you're saying my name wrong.
I'm sorry, was it Tammy?
No, it's Tammy. I'm a woman.
Tippin.
What?
Tippy.
No, it's Tom.
You sound like you're about 30 pounds.
It's Tom.
You sound like you're dust.
I'm not dust. Well, you sound like you're going to be dust soon with this financial situation.
Wait, what?
Yeah, what? What do you mean? You don't grasp the idea that you just lost your house?
Honey, this guy wants to give me a Hummer.
Okay.
Boy, okay.
On that note,
you want to buy that ring or not?
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to shove it down your face.
Yeah, good. There we go. Proud moments. Proud moments. Proud moments. Proud moments. WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope Worldwide on the World Wide Web at WFMU.org. The phone number 201-209-9368. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, did you see the Stones at the Super Bowl?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, phenomenal, right? Fantastic, right? Yeah, unbelievable.
You thought they were fantastic?
Nah, actually, I thought they. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what happened. You know, they don't tune up. They never tune up anymore. I don't think they tune up anymore. They don't tune their guitars or nothing like that.
They don't tune their guitars?
They don't tune them up.
They don't tune them up. You know what I think the problem was?
What do you think?
I think the problem is it's the way they play. It's the way they play the records. The drumming on them is weird.
It is very weird. I tell you what, I don't even know if that guy. I mean,
like how sad? How does it? Do you know what I'm talking about, Mike?
You know, I'll tell you. Can I tell you something?
Yeah, you go ahead.
All right. Here's the thing. All right. All my drummer friends, they think that guy's incredible. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And they always rave about, you know, his groove, and he's got the same groove, and he's amazing. And I think everybody's in denial. You know, everybody's in denial. I mean, I saw him in '81. They were terrible. I saw him in I guess '92, '93. They were terrible. I saw him in '89. They were horrible. They're not like a fine wine. I don't know what it is, but the Keith with the weave, he and Ronnie with the weave. I mean, I don't know what they're talking about with the weave. Seriously, I mean, I had no idea. It's unbelievable. I tell you what, it all went downhill when Ian Stewart expired. I think it all went downhill there. You know,
and what year would that be?
He split the scene in 85.
Yeah, I might say it went downhill earlier than 85.
Oh, well, when do you say?
I don't know. Maybe when the album Goat's Head Soup hit record stores.
Yeah, it's true. Jimmy Miller was on all sorts of junk and heroin and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, buddy. I'm going to I think you're right, though. I agree.
I asked you one thing, though.
Yeah.
Did you think Mick Jagger was singing too fast the whole time? It was insane, right?
It seemed off for me.
The cat can't do a melody anymore on the vocals.
Okay.
And the whole thing was dry. It was all flat. You know what? I mean, I saw kids on the street today. I was asking 10-year-old kids. I go, "What'd you think of the Super Bowl?" "Oh, great." You know, I go, "What'd you think of Stones?" "Terrible." I mean, I was asking kids all ages, adults. Uh-huh. Everybody asked. The Stones were terrible.
You know? Mm-hmm. Now you don't know. You know, walk around wearing a sandwich board that says. What do you think of the Stones?
I was thinking of it, I'll tell you the truth.
Do it.
I think I might just do it.
You should do it. Send us a picture of it.
Oh, you know what? I might do that. Hey, anyone hear from John Conte?
From John Conte? No, I haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, no one knows where he is, huh?
Really?
Well, last time I saw him, he was playing over at that Carmella Cafe, and he's trying to break the world record or something like that.
Well, we'll try to get in touch with him. Thanks.
I told him we should wear diapers next time. He'll have a better chance.
Proud moments. Proud moments. Thank you, buddy. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Tom, this is Marco. You met me this weekend at Delancey?
Yeah, sure did meet you. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Tom?
Why don't you ask my jaw?
Tom's jaw, how are you doing?
Oh, I hurt and I click now.
Oh, man. Tom, I really apologize for doing that.
Shameful.
I sent you some supplementary materials on your email just now. Did you get that?
Let me go to the email and check. Well,
should I be Tom S at WSM?
It's here.
Yeah, the Marco Assaults Tom supplementary materials.
Yeah, I see it.
Now, I've attached some photos of me carrying some people.
Uh-huh.
They jumped into my arms this weekend.
What are you, out of control?
I think if you look at the pictures, I've got a lot of control in those pictures.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I mean, they're not...
You was a woman wearing an Ireland shirt.
Right.
Let me go to the other one here. Accidentally closed the window. Hold on. Shameful. Shameful actions.
I won't argue that.
You can't hold your alcohol? You got to go act like a banana?
Well, I can hold people.
Shameful. That's all I'll say. Shameful.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, you've seen. Okay.
I'm checking the next picture. Hold on.
Okay.
Next picture. Let's see. Let's take a look. Okay. So you holding a guy? How big is that guy you're holding?
He was probably about 250 pounds.
You know what though? Was it? Were you ready for him?
No. I mean.
So he came running across the room at you.
Smoking, as you can see in the picture.
Yeah.
And I don't smoke.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, there you go. You know why I'm glad you don't smoke?
Why?
Because you would have burned my face when you hit me.
I know. Those were my pictures in my defense. I was going to call in to say
in
that.
Defense?
Well.
Well, how are you going to. Well, these people didn't get elbowed in the face.
Well, they didn't elbow me in the face. Yeah. I was ready for them.
Uh-huh.
But I was going to say, this sort of thing, I don't usually do this sort of thing to people.
Yeah.
Well, somebody posted some pictures, another picture from this weekend. There's a link there, and your listeners probably look at it.
Let's see. It's a link to a MySpace page.
Right. It was for the event that we attended this weekend.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a picture of you.
Yeah.
And you're attacking some girl.
Yeah, she was one of the organizers of the event.
Uh-huh.
I put her in a headlock.
So you're just unhinged, is basically what you're saying.
That's kind of a strong word.
Yeah, you know what? My jaw doesn't think so. Neither does the twinge in my back.
Oh, wow. Well, I emailed you earlier to forward any bills to me. Now, I didn't say I could pay them necessarily, but you can forward those bills to me and we can see what we can do. Now, I was concerned that I would be able to kind of make up for this weekend,
yeah.
But after hearing the beginning of your show, I came up with an idea.
Well,
now, that band, Poster Children?
Yeah.
I don't know what you felt about them in their heyday, Sub Pop single.
Yeah.
I thought they were horrible.
Okay.
And is this their radio podcast that they've got?
Yeah.
I'll make a deal with you, Tom.
Yeah.
If you can put me in the vicinity of one of the members of the Poster Children,
uh-huh.
I will jump into their arms and dislocate one of their jaws.
This is what I'm going to say right now to you.
Yeah?
Based on you saw me at the thing, you're like, I like you. I'm a fan.
I don't think I was quite that whiny, but the sentiment was the same.
You're like, I like you. Where's Philly Boy Roy?
Right.
Right?
I think, yeah.
You're into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm going to command you to get into the Poster Children. Go be a fan of them. Go hurt them. Go treat them the way you treat other people you like. Get off my phone! Or hit me in the jaw, lunatic. The other people didn't burn me with their cigarettes. I caught them. Yeah, you're right. I'm the bad guy here. I'm the bad guy. I'm the bad guy. I'm not the bad guy. I'm not the bad guy. How dare you? I'm at a show and this lunatic comes flying across the room. Drunk. Can't control himself. You know what? Take a lesson, son. Take a lesson. Some people know. Some people can drink, yet they can control themselves. Some people know how to conduct themselves like adults. Take a lesson from this man. His name? I've seen this guy drink so much. But he's rocking the crowd. He's not breaking people's jaws. That's right, I'm El Goodo. I just got an instant message from Sparky Pop. You're not the bad guy, you're El Goodo. That's right, I'm El Goodo. Who's on one, Mike? FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Thomas, Gordon from North Dakota calling.
Hi, Gordon from North Dakota.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going fantastic.
Hey, I just wanted to do Top 10 Love Hate with Tom Sharpling tonight.
Okay, let's hear it.
So we'll go through top 10 random things, and you'll say whether you love or hate them.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, number one, good guys.
I love him.
Number two, bad guys.
I hate him.
Plain almonds, number three.
I love him.
Number four, wicker furniture.
I hate him.
Number five, Rod Roddy.
Rod Roddy, love him.
Number six, Bill Kohler.
Bill Kohler, who is that?
Bill Cowler.
Bill Cowher, the coach?
Yeah.
I love him.
Okay. Number seven, Fred Willard.
I love him.
Number eight, Ouija boards.
Hate him.
Number nine, Devil Dog Snack Cakes.
Hate him.
Number 10, Paola.
Hate it.
Okay, I just thought I'd check.
Yeah, it hasn't changed since last week. I still hate Paola.
Right. Okay.
Why don't you believe me?
It's a little obvious in your playlist, Tom. Little obvious.
Name one thing that's obvious.
The obvious same playing of the same songs every week.
Like what?
I mean, like what?
Name one.
DC Snipers. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, I'm on their payroll because all that DC Snipers money's rolling in. Those guys are on a giant stack of money, and they're throwing it at everybody. The one guy driving, he drives a toilet paper truck for a living.
That's not true.
That's completely true.
So you still deny it, or...
What's that?
You still deny the...
I completely deny it. And with that, here's something on Merge Records. Robert Pollard! Robert Pollard from the new album From a Compound Eye, The Right Thing. 201-209-9368 here on the best show on WFMU. WFMU, you're on WXM, Hope Worldwide, World Wide Web, WFMU.org. FMU, you're on the air. FMU, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was going to chime in about you always playing the same songs over and over again.
Yeah. Well, what do you have to say about it?
Well, it seems like you're always playing that Lady Godiva song.
Lady Godiva song?
Yeah.
The Maud theme?
Excuse me?
The theme from Maud.
It's that song you keep playing about her being a freedom rider.
Yeah, the theme from Maud.
Yeah, why do you keep playing that? I was just backing that other guy up about you doing that.
Well... you know, I guess you and him are brothers in arms.
You don't watch it. Zeph's going to snuff you out.
What?
Zeph's going to snuff you out.
Who? What's your name?
Zeph.
Zeph. That's the congratulations on the dumbest name I've ever heard. Zeph. Z-E-F? Z-E-F. Z-E-F is your name? Get off my phone. Oh, let's get our bearings here for a second. Oh, a lot of Super Bowl talk going down this show tonight. A lot of football talk going down. Super Bowl, everybody watches it. Everybody talks about it. But you know what I watch on a Sunday, and a lot of this has been discussed on my on the Friends of Tom chat you go to over at friendsoftom.com. You check out the chat. The Puppy Bowl, that's right. Puppy Bowl 2. Last year, the Puppy Bowl hit the air. It's basically 3 hours of puppies horsing around. Well, they're puppying around, I guess. So it's puppies on a little miniature football field jumping around and, you know, playing with chew toys and having a good old time. And I love it. This year, they did the Puppy Bowl. Puppy Bowl 2, another 3 hours. And it seems like people saw it. Everybody I know is talking about Puppy Bowl. It's maybe the most relaxing thing you'll ever see, where it is just puppies playing. There's almost no. It's not. It's so low tech and brilliant. The Puppy Bowl. It's the way people get rich off ideas like that, where you have an idea that costs nothing, but everybody watches it. And I I love the Puppy Bowl. It's actually, I look forward on Super Bowl Sunday to the Puppy Bowl more than I do the Super Bowl. FMU, you're on the air.
Tom Sharpley?
Speaking.
Hi. I need to ask you a favor.
Okay.
Basically, I write for the Patriot Press for Port Morris High School.
Okay.
And we're doing an interview, and I just need some quotes. And I was wondering if I could interview you.
Okay. An interview with, over what? For it's a school, school paper?
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's okay. What's your name?
Ethan.
Okay, Ethan.
All right. Should I just jump right into it?
Sure, go for it.
All right. How did you get to host the show?
Basically, I did a radio show, and I wanted to do a show. I volunteered here at the station, and I one thing led to another, and I got a show. Basically, I submitted a tape, and they liked it, and then I did a music show, and it became a talk show after a while.
Okay. Who has been your biggest influence?
In what way?
Radio.
In radio? I like listening to a lot of talk radio. Sometimes the people I'm most influenced by are people I don't like. Bob Grant. I despise his politics, but I think he's an engaging broadcaster. And, I did my fair share of listening to Howard Stern when I was growing up. And I also like Bob and Ray, who are two old-timey radio personalities.
Okay, what advice would you give to any high school student interested in disc jockeying?
Well, I guess you... that's a good question. I mean, maybe try to get involved with a small station that you could actually get behind the mic or get on the air sooner than you would at a big station. Try to learn as much about it as you can, about radio, all the facets of it.
What is your stance on cell phones in school?
What's that?
Your stance on cell phones in school.
I guess I would think they might be counterproductive to learning, and I guess maybe you got to bring them in and you shut them off, you leave them in your locker.
What do you think about school uniforms?
What do I think about school uniforms?
Yeah.
For what type of school? For a public school or for a private school?
Public.
Public?
Either or.
Public, I would disagree. Private schools, I guess, can have whatever kind of, agenda they want to have with clothing or whatever, but a public school, I'm not, I would not support that.
This next is for a kind of touchy subject. When you were in school, were there any gay or lesbian students, and how were they treated?
I would say it was when I was in school, it was not a big, an issue that was discussed a whole lot. I'm sure there were, but it was not something that was really, it was not an issue that you would talk about. I guess it would be somebody's private matter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might be different now.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite new music?
My favorite new music?
Yeah.
I guess stuff I play on the show a lot. I like this record by Boris, and I like this record by the Black Lips. I like the new Robert Pollard record, and just, I guess you could take anything I play on the show, and that's me enjoying it.
How do you spell Pollard? I don't want
to. P-O-L-L-A-R-D.
Thanks. Hats, allowed or banned, your take?
Hat, what's that?
In school.
Hats in school. Well, I mean, I kind of don't have much of an opinion on hats in school either way.
You don't have a quote or anything?
On hats in school?
Yeah.
Like a baseball cap?
Yeah.
Maybe hats in school, maybe hats should also be left in the locker.
Okay. Recently, recently, Senora Bell, one of our students, or one of our school's Spanish teachers, suffered a mild heart attack. Do you have any messages for her while she recovers in the hospital?
I don't. I don't mean to laugh, but I kind of don't know. Was it a teacher?
Mm-hmm. Spanish teacher.
Okay. I feel better. Please have a safe and healthy recovery and feel better soon.
Recently, a student of ours was in the school was quoted as saying he drinks beer, but was penalized for it. Do you think that's fair to the student?
I mean, why do you need quotes from me on these things? I don't go to your school.
I have a deadline tomorrow, and
Look, I'll answer your questions. In what context did he say that?
Well, they asked him if he does he drink, and he says he drinks because it tastes good.
Uh huh.
And he got taken off of student council.
Well, maybe it wasn't the smartest thing for him to say in a public forum, but I think he should be allowed to offer his opinion.
Can you repeat that?
I don't think maybe it was the smartest thing for him to say on school grounds, but he's entitled to his opinion, and that's an issue between him and his parents.
All right. That's it. I don't want to waste your time. It's just journalism editor is a real tightwad.
Okay, well, it's a pleasure to help you out for your school thing.
She's just, like, really mean, and I kind of needed quotes for the paper.
Okay, well, I'm glad if I could help.
Real quick, just one more.
Uh-huh.
Valentine's Day is coming up, and do you have any Valentine's suggestions or memories?
I guess suggestions? In what way? You mean, like, if you have a date or something?
Yeah.
Just buy your girlfriend or boyfriend something nice.
You have something better?
Something better than that. Try. I would say you try to treat them as nice as you would treat them on Valentine's Day every day.
Do you have something better than that?
Better than that? That's actually pretty good advice. To try to treat somebody the way people want to be treated on Valentine's Day, you should try to treat the people who are special to you like that every day.
Oh, I already have like three quotes for that, and those were like two of the ones already said. Do
you have
something better?
Okay, try to do something unique to take them by surprise. How's that?
Also, one of the other.
Well, I can't help what else you've got.
Well,
come on. Okay, I gotta say goodnight. You're not crying.
No, I'm the voice of the public.
What's wrong with you? I give you a quote. You got your quote. I can't help it if people said the same thing already.
No.
Get off my phone. I don't want some kid crying on my phone. FMU, you're on the air.
Oh, my God. I finally got through. The lines are jammed. Is Marky Ramone still taking calls?
Well, Marky Ramone didn't call in tonight.
What?
How about that? FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, is this the guy that was talking about Puppy Bowl?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you found it so relaxing.
That I found the Puppy Bowl relaxing?
Yeah, I'm glad you found it so relaxing. Some of us didn't.
That is, well, you know what I don't find relaxing is that phone connection of yours.
The what now?
That phone connection of yours. Were you calling from a power plant?
Oh, I don't have it on my end. Do you have a problem? Do you hear something on your end?
Yeah, it's a constant buzz. Yeah, well, whatever. We'll see how we're doing with it. What?
Let me just call you back from another phone then.
Okay. Yeah. Please do. This is a horrible connection, and I did want to talk puppy bowl.
Okay.
Okay. Call back. Okay. Puppy bowl. I like puppy bowl. You got to be a commie if you didn't like the puppy bowl. It was relaxing, and it made me watch more of Animal Planet's programming, like America's Funniest Animals. Oh, they don't know that they don't have America's Funniest Animal. I do. Dog Mo is America's Funniest Animal. I took Dog Mo for a dog bath. And now she's wearing a bandana tied on her by the people at the place that gives dogs baths. Funniest dog in America, Dog Mo. FMU, you're on the air.
Is this phone connection more relaxing for you?
Yes, it is more relaxing for me. Thank you.
As relaxing as the puppy bowl?
Yes, as relaxing as the puppy bowl.
Well, like I was saying before, that wasn't such a relaxing situation for some of us.
You didn't like the puppy bowl?
Well, that's putting it lightly.
Well, I mean, you could change the channel, I guess, is the only thing I can tell you.
No. See, the thing is, friend, I couldn't change the channel.
Why is that? Well, you don't...
I know. That's not a luxury that was offered me.
Why is that?
Well, I was the ref.
You were the ref on the puppy bowl.
Yeah, you saw me, right?
You mean on the actual puppy bowl?
Yeah, you saw me.
You were the guy who was on the field.
Yeah, you saw me on there, right?
Yeah. Hey,
yeah,
Mike, can you swing this door shut, Mike? Some clown's playing some loud music in the building.
Oh.
Thank you.
I wouldn't want to.
No, it's not you. I want to be able to talk to you unencumbered.
Right. I want you to be relaxed during our conversation.
Yeah, you keep bringing this relaxed thing up as if... I'm sorry I enjoyed the puppy bowl.
I mean, I just don't see how you could say those things about it. I mean, is that how it looks to you? Like, simple and cheap and brilliant and relaxing. Is that how it comes across to you?
Yeah. I think me and pretty much everybody else watching it.
I mean, I guess I need to set the record straight then.
Well,
you know, I guess, you know, I'm qualified.
Okay. Well, let's make it. So you are the actual ref.
I was the actual ref. My name is Cliff Givens. I was the ref on the shoot. Yeah.
So you're the guy who's on TV going foul, like the conduct,
right.
You know.
Sure. Yeah. You know, and that was whatever. That's not. I did. You know, I had to make sure there was water in the bowls. All of that. I mean, you make it out to be like, I mean, it might look like a cakewalk or something, but.
You mean from home, it seems very, I mean, and you keep throwing this word back in my face, relaxing.
I've been on a downward spiral ever since we shot the show, which was 2 weeks prior to its airing on Sunday.
So
it was so incredibly stressful. I don't know if I will recover from the experience.
The experience of doing the puppy bowl, which is just pretty much 3 hours of watching dogs jump around.
I couldn't handle it, man. I mean, they told me, you know, they told me that I would just have to wear, you know, a referee uniform and maybe enter a couple of shots
and otherwise I could just hang out in the corner. But I got there. I got to the shoot, and they had laid some more tasks on me, like changing the water bowl. That may be why my cell phone had such a buzz earlier. It's because it fell out of my pocket into the water bowl once when I was changing the water. And it was overwhelming. And not only was the whole situation overwhelming, the smell was overwhelming. I mean, I don't even really like animals, man.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe...
They really creep me out.
Well, I mean...
I don't like... Go ahead.
It's an animal planet.
I don't like how they look at me. I'm not even really used to even being around animals. They just said, they tricked me. I had to do extra things. I had to place the toys. I wasn't operating the camera or anything like that, thank God. But it was so intense, and I had to, worst of all, I had to lift the dogs into the ring. I had to lift the cats into the ring for the Bissell Vacuum Cleaner Kitty halftime show.
Which is another funny thing, is that the halftime show for the Puppy Bowl was cats kind of bouncing around for the halftime show. It was Bissell Carpet, whatever that is. It was cats jumping around.
I'm glad you find that hilarious.
Yeah, again, look, I'm sorry you had a terrible time. It was fun to watch at home, though.
Oh, God, I can't even think about it right now. I just don't, I'm just not used to that type of thing. The dogs and the cats, they have dead eyes.
Cats do?
And dogs.
You just think all animals have dead eyes.
I'm just not used to being around animals. It was such an intense situation. We had to shoot the halftime kitty show four times. They just couldn't get it right. The cats couldn't get the finale right. One kitten fell asleep. We only landed two pieces of confetti on another kitten. It was a complete disaster.
Okay. Home it was fun.
Well, good. I'm glad you. Yeah. Well, where I was, it wasn't.
Well, I guess.
I haven't.
That's showbiz, I guess.
That pupping around joke you made earlier.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Not very funny.
You mean that they weren't horsing around; they were puppying around.
Yeah. Not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. That. First of all, that was not a. Not exactly a top shelf joke, and it was kind of like a little play on words.
I mean, I'm probably letting the stress get the best of me, and perhaps I'm being a little punchy with you. I apologize for that.
I would say a little bit.
I've never dealt with a situation like that. I mean, I haven't slept in a week.
You haven't slept in a week.
I haven't slept in a week.
Because of what, the Puppy Bowl?
The shot was the whole production was just too stressful for me.
The entire Puppy Bowl, it was too stressful for you to be in a room in a ref uniform, and then just watch the dogs do tug of war with chew toys. And then when a dog would have a little accident, blow a whistle, and then make a little funny joke, yeah, accident on the field, or whatever you said, 5-minute penalty.
Yeah, you make it sound real easy. It wasn't.
How is that not easy, though? I'm losing something here in your explanation.
I'm just not used to that type of stress. I didn't know the dogs were gonna, do that stuff.
Well, that's kind of what dogs do.
Yeah, well, nobody told me that.
you've never heard of the concept of a dog, and some of the specifics of what dogs do. They have little accidents.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, look, again, I'm sorry. It seems like you had a horrible time.
Oh,
what was that?
That was me coughing. My immune system is probably not the.
I mean, are you allergic to animals?
No, I'm not allergic to animals.
So it's just you.
I just don't like them. It's not. Maybe it's just not that I don't like them. I'm just maybe terrified of them, or not terrified. It just really turned me off.
Like scarred by them or something. Seems like you're.
Now I am. I feel like. And if that all of this wasn't enough.
Uh huh. Yeah.
After the puppy bowl aired in a continuous loop all day long on Sunday.
Uh huh.
Yesterday, I was. Now I have to deal with the trappings of fame, as they say, because yesterday I was mobbed on the street
for being the ref on the puppy bowl.
Yeah, I was mobbed on the street
by who?
I don't
think how many how many people mobbed you?
I don't really. Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Oh,
I don't really.
Okay.
I don't really think. I don't really think it had anything to do with the fact of what I was wearing or anything. That's what my girlfriend said, well, it's because of what you were wearing, and I don't agree with her.
And what were you wearing?
I was wearing the referee outfit. I had a bomber style Yukonuba jacket on, and I was carrying the actual puppy bowl sign with me, and in the other hand, I was carrying a pet transporter with one of the puppies in it, and that I don't think that's the reason that the woman approached me.
Why on earth would you, if you were so scarred by the experience, why are you walking around dressed as a?
Well, I had to go back and clean up the set. So.
Uh huh.
They have had some extra work for me. I took some extra work
to go clean up the set of the puppy.
Right, that outfit was the only thing I had clean.
Uh huh. And a Yukonu. You didn't own any other jacket.
Shouldn't have mattered, man.
Well, if people are spotting you on the street, it does matter.
Well, yeah, that woman. That really rattled my cage, man. I'm not used to that type of attention. She came up and said, "Were you the ref on Puppy Bowl?" And I just shrieked. I recoiled in terror. I couldn't handle it.
That's...
I ran. I got in my car. I'm not going to be able to deal with this. I didn't leave the apartment today.
Uh-huh.
I can't deal with another situation like that. I understand. I completely understand this. Celebrities just cracking under the pressure of fame now. I just I'm on the same page now.
Yeah, you're pretty much up there with Dave Chappelle or any other celebrity having a hard time in a situation. You got spotted by one woman because you're walking around in the outfit that you worked in.
Well, obviously you and I have differing opinions, I guess, on that. I mean, I'm the one that had to go through it. You're on the outside looking in.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's your perception as an outsider, and that's fine. You can have that.
Uh-huh.
It's been a rough ride, man.
Well, this is something you might want to get over.
It's been rough. I don't think I'm going to do it next year.
You don't think you're going to do the puppy bowl next year? Well, no. I would think after the way you're talking, maybe they wouldn't exactly want you back.
Well, I mean, even if they do, I'm not doing it. I'll just go ahead and let you and let them and let whoever needs to know that I'm not going through that again. I mean, I really only have like one thing to look forward to in this situation, and that's that I get a little bit from the DVD sales because they do a DVD of it.
Puppy Bowl 2 comes on DVD soon, I'm sure.
It does. It comes out soon, and because of the because of the high level sponsorship, as you know, as you're aware, like during the actual airing of the show, enough funds were probably made with that allowed me to get a little bit off the DVD sales. I mean, it's not enough to repair the damage that's been done to
well,
me.
Well, how much are you pulling off the Puppy Bowl DVD sale?
I get $7 per copy sold.
You get $7 per unit?
Yeah.
Really?
It's nothing to really.
And you're complaining about this?
I don't think it's going to repair the damage. I'm sorry.
$7.
Even if projected sales are above 200,000 units on this go around.
So you don't think pulling in all that money will help ease the pain that you got for a horrible afternoon with the puppies?
Are you mocking me?
Yeah, you know what? You sound a little bit like an ingrate. A guy making seven. First of all, a guy getting to do the Puppy Bowl. I hate puppies. It's like, calm down. It's puppies. And then you're
you
all.
No idea, man.
What's that?
You got no idea.
Maybe you have to ease up on the gas pedal a little bit, Chief. You know, and then you're getting kind of rewarded here, money wise. So just take it easy.
$7 a unit is not that good, man.
$7 a unit is insane. That's
insanely
insane. No, insanely great.
Well, must sound good to you. I mean, obviously everything sounds good to you. Puppy Bowl sounded good to you. You know everything.
Cat halftime.
Yeah, you like that too.
Uh-huh.
You like that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
and a lot of other people did, and I'm sure it'll be back next year.
Yeah, well, it'll be back without me. I can guarantee that right now. It'll be back without me.
Wow, maybe that. Hopefully, they can tough it out.
Yeah, well,
because everybody's tuning
in. I feel sorry for the next sucker that gets that
puts on the stripes.
Yeah,
and puts puts that whistle around his neck.
Yeah, and has to change the water and lift the animals into the ring and clean. Ugh.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Be brave. Be brave.
Okay. Well, again.
Maybe next year you can dig deep and find some reservoir of strength that will allow you to get through the experience so that you can get another $7 a unit.
Well, you know, I thank you for the encouraging words from your little tower of comfort that you said.
Well, I don't think I gave you one single encouraging word, unless you were being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Nice laugh there. By the way, what are you? Twirling your mustache?
Am I twirling my mustache?
I mean, that was like an old villain. You tie someone on the railroad tracks.
Now you're making fun of the way I talk and laugh.
I'm teasing you. Well, you really are uptight.
After having heard what I've been through, you have you're black-hearted enough to make fun of me.
To make fun of you
after hearing the traumatic.
Yeah, some people have real problems.
Some people have real problems.
Yeah, they do.
That's rich. That's rich.
Well, right. that's also true.
Well, I'm now officially done talking to you.
Oh, jeepers!
Oh. God! I really don't like you.
Well, there you
I
go.
Really don't like you.
There
I
you
really
go.
Don't like you. I really don't like you. Wow! I didn't expect this.
It is reciprocal. It's completely reciprocal. Oh, well,
at least we're on the same page about something.
Yeah, you have a great night.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
Yeah, idiot.
Oh, okay. Goodbye.
guy hung up. How about that? Final 4 minutes of the program. A couple things we didn't get to tonight. Didn't get to this Abercrombie and Fitch article sent to me by Teddy, my buddy, Teddy Leo. Didn't get that. Didn't get to read the Tom Hazelmeyer article, which we have, where he pretty much talks about inventing rock music. We will read that next week. And next week is Valentine's Day. The Best Show is on Valentine's Day. So we should do something special for Valentine's Day. You know, check the main page of friendsoftom.com. I will announce something that we will do for Valentine's Day. Some sort of topic to discuss for all those lonely-hearted people who will be listening to the radio on Valentine's Day. Or we will provide the perfect amorous accompaniment for those who are with the special guy or gal. They want to drive around town listening to the Best Show. The podcast going strong. You want info on the podcast, go over to, that's right, friendsoftom.com. Click on podcast. You'll see it right there on the main page. Then you subscribe to the podcast, and you get it sent to your computer. The podcast gets sent right to you. Couple minutes left in the show. We also have some theme song entries. I didn't even get to play those yet. Too much show. They say that over on the show, my buddies, the Jake and Jackie program. They say too much show. But we only get one show a week, so I understand that. Time for one more call, 201-209-9368. It is 10:58. Who will be the final call of tonight's installment of The Best Show on WFMU, which has been an exciting one. We had Super Bowl defensive end Troy Renfro called in. We heard from a guy who was the ref on the Puppy Bowl, too. That was exciting. I did an interview for a school newspaper. I heard from a man named Zeff, which I would congratulate him on having the dumbest name I've ever heard in my life, Zeff. Is that short for Zephyr? But if anything is short, it is the 3 hours that I spend with you each and every Tuesday night. And now it is time for me to say to you, good night and good luck. Wait, that's the name of a movie, isn't it? I think so. Oh, that's right. final announcement you should all know here on the show in the home stretch. Tell you what I'm going to be doing. Little announcement I got to make. I forgot. Just so you know. Here it is. It'll take 1 second. I apologize. Sam Ulano is going to be on Irwin's show this Wednesday, February 8th, noon to 3 p.m. The guy from... He's 73 years old, and he's the drummer and the prankster. That should be fun. I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to the Terry T, who's going to be DJing over at the Glam Dammit show, which is over. It's a live DJ thing over at Rafifi this Saturday evening, February 11th at 10 p.m. Both events will be events to die for, and you will see me at both of them. I will be at Irwin's recording studio recording the Sam Ulano interview, and I will be at the Glam Dammit Saturday night at Rafifi over on 11th Street. And with that, I tell you now, good night, and thank you, and stay tuned for Bill, who is coming up next.